I would just like to talk to you about the state of education and technology as we move forward. It seems to be a very interesting and actually some would say exciting time.
Well, I think it's a wildly exciting time, but for sure it's an interesting time. I think what's maybe the most interesting is historically education has been kind of an incremental type of business, certainly from a technology standpoint. You just didn't see rapidly adopted kind of big idea solutions in the education market. You're now seeing, for a variety of reasons, companies that are scaling very fast. I call it the weapons of mass instruction. And these businesses with new models, whether it's a freemium model or it's adaptive software, where companies are going from idea to reaching millions of students in breathtaking rates.
And what does sort of the rise of kids being able to have access to tablets and smartphones mean? Where textbooks have been very expensive, we seem to be seeing a lot more use in the way of apps and things like that.
Part of the reason why you're starting to see these scale solutions appear on the landscape is now finally we have kind of the infrastructure to support content and courses to reach millions of students fast. So what I say is the digital tracks have been laid over the past 15 years. You've got nearly 3 billion users on the internet. Facebook alone has 1.2 billion users. So being able to use those digital tracks when you have an idea or course, it's been very effective in terms of being able to grow fast. And that didn't exist. Again, the fact that you have in your pocket a phone that is more powerful than what landed the astronauts on the moon in 1969, that's incredibly valuable as an entrepreneur to be able to come into this marketplace today, which, again, was very different than was the case a decade ago.
In your opening remarks, you talked about this watershed of 1975, how the trend line was up until then, and then from then on it seemed to either flatline or drop. Could you just recap, what was it about the mid-70s that caused basically the slowdown in moving forward?
There's a variety of factors. And, again, it's not any one thing that caused pretty significant change to the fundamentals of what had been for 75 years this incredible growth engine, America, where you saw GDP per capita rise significantly, educational attainment rise significantly, innovation flourishing. And also the mid-70s come along, and you had everything from the civil unrest that was going on with the Vietnam War. You had a president who was being impeached. You had the next president who was not sending very strong messages in terms of future leadership and importance of the country. Kind of put this all in the mix, and basically I think America took its eye off the ball. And again, it was such a strong country, it didn't kill it. But you just stopped seeing this rapid improvement that you'd seen for the first 75 years of the American century.
And now we are 30 years and more down the road from there. And what are you seeing?
Well, part of it is the rest of the world kind of has figured things out. And so while we were sleeping, the rest of the world has looked at our playbook and said, that's how we can create a society that's going to be competitive. Well, by the way, in an ever-increasing global marketplace. So I did say, I had this saying in my speech, what the key ingredients to the success is E-I-E-I-O, kind of like the old McDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, but it's really those five ingredients are education, immigration, entrepreneurship, innovation, and opportunity. And so the key part, whether it's Singapore, which saw their GDP per capita soar. It started in 1960. It was one quarter of what the U.S.'s GDP per capita. Well, by 2005, it actually had surpassed it. Why? Because they emphasized human capital. China is going to have 200 million college graduates by 2030. That's more than the entire U.S. workforce. And so what they figured out is that the more people that they were able to educate, the greater the prosperity in a country. Hopefully, we've woken up. We see what's going on, and we know we just can't have population where fewer and fewer people are participating in the future. We have to embrace ways to help bring people from the lower status into the middle class and have no limits to our opportunity. We have to embrace immigrants, this driving force of human capital that is phenomenal for this country for many years, bring them on, help them get assimilated into America and keep on building building the country, which was built by this incredible melting pot.
One question before I wrap up is, have we not sort of cooked our own books by educating tens of thousands of people, not being able to keep them here, and then kicking them out and sending them back to China and sending them back to India with basically what is our knowledge and our know-how?
Good news, bad news. The good news, yeah, our college and universities in America remain to be the top in the world. In fact, in 2013, 819,000 international students came to the United States for an education. The bad news is only 85,000 HB1 visas were granted in 2013, so we're educating the best and brightest minds from around the world, and then we're sending them back home to start the next Baidu or Alibaba. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, again, it's great for what I call the global Silicon Valley. It's not so great for the home team. So we have to figure out a much more progressive way to think about keeping these very smart, talented people here, helping build great U.S. companies and creating great U.S. jobs.
And do we see any sign that any administration has sort of twigged to this and that they ought to be more proactive than they have been?
I'm unfortunately not super bullish on politicians, although I will say that both the Obama administration, I think, has addressed a lot of these equity issues for education, which is great. I also say our keynote speaker on Monday night, Jeb Bush, Republican Party hasn't been the most progressive as it relates to immigrants or for that matter, to the whole Common Core and other things that it should be. This shouldn't be a political issue. This is an issue about society and about how do we do what's right for people and how do we help make a more prosperous society and how do we continue to have a upwardly mobile society that everybody has a limitless opportunity. I hope events like what we put on here can help provide that kind of perspective and make this a totally non-political, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, you know, Martian. This shouldn't be controversial. And hopefully we get everybody together, focus, and make it a huge priority to get after it and innovate and help people. I think we're going to do that.
Anything that you want to say that I didn't ask you?
No, we appreciate you being here. It's great. I think the more, frankly, that we have media that is highlighted on the real issues, the greater the populace can help understand it and be agents for change. And we need a new American revolution. And I think the more revolutionaries we have that are demanding these changes and are looking for ways to create solutions, you know, the better off we're going to be, and we need to do it urgently.